The reading today is taken from Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, and can be found on page 1042. Luke 11, starting at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us today, each day, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to these well-loved and very familiar words, help us to see them with new eyes, with fresh insight. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, it might be helpful to have on you a Bible and to turn up our passage today, which Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, looking at those first few verses. Gosh, that's hard to say. First few verses. There we go. Well, today we continue working our way through the Gospel of Luke. And the purpose of this sermon series has been to read through Luke and to see the sorts of things that Jesus himself prays. We are looking at the prayers of Jesus. And this morning we arrive at something which is very familiar, a prayer we say each week across our services in the parish. Indeed, a pattern that should be observed by the Church of England nationally. I am, of course, talking about the Lord's Prayer. Now, what I like about our passage today is that the disciples ask Jesus an honest question. "Lord, teach us to pray." They want to learn how to pray. You see, prayer can be a tricky business, particularly if you don't know where to start. I have to say, it doesn't come as naturally to me as I would like. And so here is Jesus' very plain response to a very honest and humble question. That's what I like about the passage. But here's the problem. The danger with something like the Lord's Prayer is that because it's so familiar, because we indeed recite it week by week, the words can trickle off our lips without ever our hearts and heads engaging with what is being said. And so today we have an opportunity to look at Jesus' prayer afresh, to read again his helpful pattern, which he gave us to give us a sense of direction and purpose as we speak to God. The example he gave to us to get the ball rolling, to make us into a more prayerful people. And my question today, here's the question. I always like to open with a question. Here's my question. Who is the God we get to know in the Lord's Prayer? Who is the God we get to know as we read through the Lord's Prayer? Well, I think the answer will come to us as we work through the prayer itself, going through it line by line, particularly as we look at the things that we ask for. You see, the things we ask for in the Lord's Prayer often make us think of our own situation, to think of ourselves and our particular need before God. But what if we turned that on its head slightly and asked, what do the things we ask for in the Lord's Prayer tell us about God? And here's where I want to draw an illustration. And hopefully with illustrations it's designed to be helpful. You can let me know afterwards how successful I've been in that regard. Each of us has various relationships, various networks we move in. And in our different relationships, because of those, we play more than one role at any one time. So, for example, right now I'm standing here with my collar on as a clergyman. That is one of the roles I play. But you'll be relieved to hear, back home, I don't address Anna and the boys from behind a lectern or pulpit. My time at home isn't governed by the same expectations, as if my interactions back home were set up to be like an extended pastoral visit. My relationship with Anna and the boys is very different. And that's because at home, I hold two other roles. One, as husband, and I have here my wedding album. You're very welcome to have a look through it afterwards. So that's one of the roles I hold at home, one as husband, and also another one as father. And to illustrate that, I've brought something you might be familiar with. I best not. Maybe after the service. Yes, it seems that you can't be a parent or grandparent without bumping into Peppa Pig. And here I am in my Daddy Pig T-shirt. I have been known even to wear this to the gym on occasion. But I wear it now to illustrate that as well as being back home a husband, I am as well a father. Now, on top of these roles, you might know that I really enjoy my sport. I often train, try to get to the gym four times a week if I can to keep things rolling. But again, down at the gym, you wouldn't expect me to talk to my friends there as if they were my children or if they were my wife. I hold a rather different set of relationships down at the gym, governed by a different set of expectations. And so what I have here, if I can do it without crushing my mic. Anyone know what this is? I won't put it on fully tight. It's a belt which is designed just to keep your core in place under intense pressure when you're lifting heavy weights. Anyone know what this is? This is a funny thing, but it's very good. This is called liquid chalk. I don't know if you've seen strongman competitions where you see people use chalk. Oh, you knew that? Very good. Liquid chalk. And again, you do look a bit like a Wally for the first 30 seconds down at the gym while it's drying out. But as you can see, it dries out and it's there for grip. Now, this is the really important thing. When I'm down the gym, I don't stop being a husband. When I'm at the gym, I don't stop being a father or a clergyman. I hold all those roles at once. And it's the same for you. If you're a parent, you don't stop being a parent when you step into the workplace. If you're a grandparent, you're a grandparent even when the grandchildren aren't around. We hold more than one role at once. And so what of the Lord's Prayer then? Who is the God we get to know in the Lord's Prayer? And what are the roles that God plays in our life as he meets us in prayer? Well, let's look at the prayer itself, reading from verse 2. Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father." And so that's the first role that we meet of God in prayer, one of Father. And here we have, to illustrate the role of Father, some scans. That's James when Anna was, I think, 12 weeks pregnant. When you pray, say, Father. We meet with God as Father. And so the first role we meet, the very first thing that God wants us to meet him as is Father. And we'll see how amazing that is when we uncover the next line of the prayer. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Of course, I think it has to be the most often used illustration, visual illustration in a sermon or church context, the crown. We come to think of God as Father and now as King. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we discover next that he's an exalted king, a king who is to be praised, respected even, as holy. Now, ordinarily, you wouldn't approach a king or queen and say mummy or daddy, unless, of course, you were a prince or a princess. And what's more, the prayer tells us that God is holy. That means set apart, to be kept at a distance, shown respect as something which is different, something which is pure. But here is God, the Holy King, who wants to be known by us first as Father. Isn't that interesting? What does that say about God's love for us? The Holy King wants us to know him first as Abba, as Daddy. Well, what comes next in our prayer? There in verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. And it should be here. There it is. We meet God next as provider. We often think in human terms as provider as one who goes out and earns the... Very good. We meet God next as provider. So as we pray, we meet with one who wants to meet our needs. One who wants us to look at him as one who is willing and ready to hear us as we bring our needs before him. As we pray, we meet the provider, who is the Holy King, who wants us to know him first as Abba, as Father. Then we come across this next line. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You might have to use your imagination a bit more with this one. Next, we come across God. What do you think? As judge, yes. It would work better if I had the chains type of scales, but I only have the baker set. Scales and sword. We come across God next as judge. Well, what might we learn from this? As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we meet next with God as judge. We meet with God as the one who knows the difference between right and wrong, who knows what's right and true, and expects us to treat others fairly, to treat others in the same way that we would like God to deal with us. And so the just judge, who wants to provide for us, who is the Holy King, wants to be known first by us as Father. And the last line in the Lord's Prayer, as Luke records it, is lead us not into temptation. I forgot my map today, so I've had to turn to the back of my Bible and see the map there. Lead us not into temptation. There's a bit of light-hearted relief for you. I remember saying to a wedding couple, you must always let me just have a quick scan over your order of service before it goes to print. And they decided not to. And when it came to reading the real thing, the Lord's Prayer said, instead of saying, lead us not into temptation, said, lead us into temptation. So always let the vicar second read. Work. Lead us not into temptation. That means don't lead us into the time of testing or the time of trial. And of course, you can't lead anyone without being a guide. So finally, in the Lord's Prayer in Luke's Gospel, we meet with God as guide. God is our guide. He leads us through good times, yes. By faith, we trust he leads us through bad and hard times too. And so finally, we can answer the question, who is the God we meet in the Lord's Prayer? He's our guide. He is our just judge. He's a provider. He is our Holy King. But he wants to be known by us first as Father. Who is the God we meet in the Lord's Prayer? Our guide, our just judge, our provider, our Holy King. But he wants to be known by us first as Father. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can call you our Father, that you invite us to do exactly that. We thank you for the way you guide us, for the way you hold us to account and would have us treat others exactly the way we'd wish them to treat us. Lord, we thank you that you are a provider. And in the silence of our hearts, we bring before the Lord those things which we need, our daily bread. We acknowledge that you are a holy king indeed. But with grateful hearts, we are thankful that you want to be known by us first as Father. Amen.